The Bible teaches us very plainly that God is sovereign over all things. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:6, "There is one God who is above all and through all and in you all." One God who is above all. Folks, Paul does not have any reference whatsoever to the location of God, although he is above us in heaven. When he says that God is above all, what he means by that is that he has all power and that he has all authority. There is no God but God. There is no God that is over God. He and he alone occupies that position. He is sovereign over all. And as a sovereign God, he has the right to command and to demand of all those who are under him. Now, what's interesting about that is this: God will not force any one of us to do his will. God has given unto man what is referred to as free moral agency. You and I have the ability to choose whether we will or whether we will not obey God. Joshua, standing before the children of Israel, said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." Notice he gives Israel a choice. You can serve the gods that were over beyond the other side of the Euphrates River. You can serve to choose the gods that are here in the land of Canaan. But as far as my house is concerned, we will serve God. We have the ability to choose. But there's one more point that needs to be considered. Because God is sovereign, he has a right to bring every one of us into judgment and hold us accountable for our actions. We chose Matthew 10:15 because there Jesus is speaking and refers to the day of judgment. There is coming a day wherein all individuals will stand before God and be held accountable as to why or why we did not observe his will. Today is question and answers Sunday. It's usually the first Sunday, but I was gone. So the title of our lesson very simply this morning is this: questions and answers about judgment. And there are six of them. Number one, is the day of judgment real? Is it real? When you think about standing before God and being judged, isn't that a scary thing? It is hard for us to comprehend God, isn't it? It's hard for us to grasp the majesty and the holiness and the power of the Almighty God. And yet, here I am going to stand before Him and be judged for all that I have done, eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe, with deity. Folks, that's a scary thought. Rather than grappling with that thought, rather than having to make decisions about that particular thought, there are many individuals, rather than accept it, they just choose to reject it. And they believe in their minds that the day of judgment is not real. It's not going to happen. It is false. It is fake. And they don't worry about it whatsoever. So we ask the question, is the day of judgment real? Folks, the Bible says that it is. We could go to numerous verses. Jesus said that judgment is real in Matthew 12, verse 36. "But this I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Jesus says there's coming a day of judgment. The Apostle Paul stood atop Mars Hill speaking to those Stoics and those Epicureans. And he says, who hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Paul told the Stoics and those Greek philosophers, there is coming a day of judgment. God will judge the world through Jesus Christ. Peter says there's going to be a day of judgment. 2 Peter 3 verse 7. Jude says there's going to be a day of judgment. Jude verse 6. And John, the apostle of the Lord, also says there's going to be a judgment. Romans 20 verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Judgment is real. Folks, if God exists, and He does, and if the Bible is His Word, and it is, then the day of judgment is certain. It is absolute, and it is positive. That day is coming. It is real. Point number two, what is the purpose of judgment? In our introduction, we made note of the purpose of judgment. It is that day when God gathers before Him all of His creation so that they can give an account of their actions. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. And folks, there are going to be a lot of things that God examines about us. A while ago we mentioned our words, didn't we? But I say unto you, every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. What do you say at home? What do you say when you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off in traffic and that road rage comes out of you? What do you say when you're watching a ball game and the coach makes a bad call or the player makes a bad play? What do you say at work when you're around those worldly friends of yours? You see, every word that comes forth from our tongues will be there in the day of judgment. Secondly, every behavior. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive, watch this, the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Everything that we've done in our body is going to be judged by God, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Every one of our works. As Christians, aren't we supposed to be engaged in good works? Aren't we supposed to be constantly doing the will of men? Aren't we supposed to be influencing the world through those works? One of these days, we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account of every one of our works, the Bible says. Romans 2, verse 6. My fear is not so much the works we have done. My fear is the works that we haven't done. The works that we had the potential to do and yet refused to do. Those two will be before God. There's one other area, and it refers to the secret things of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12, 14. All of us are good at covering up things at times, aren't we? There's things about ourselves that we and only we know that may not be too good. We're able to hide them from our spouse. We're able to hide them from our children. We're able to hide them from our neighbors. We're able to hide them from our friends. We're able to hide them from our enemies. We're certainly able to hide them from the preacher and from the elders and from the other Christians in the church. But folks, we'll not hide them from God. Every secret thing, whether good or bad, we will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now think about that. Our words, our behaviors, our works, and every secret thing, we will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Who's going to be in the judgment? Question number three. There's several individuals going to be there. Number one, God's going to be there. God the Father. A while ago we read in Revelation 20 verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great," watch this, "stand before God." God the Father is going to be there, folks. He is the originator of all things. It is through Him that all things have come into being. And He is not going to skip the day of judgment. He will be there, but He will judge us through His Son, Jesus Christ. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is going to be there. And God, through Jesus, is going to judge every human being. All authority has been given to Jesus, and now God is going to be standing there beside His Son, and the Son will judge us with regard to every matter that we have ever been involved in. Note this, the angels will be in judgment. Remember those sinful angels? They rose up in rebellion against God, and God cast them down, did He not? The Bible says that He cast them down to hell, reserved in everlasting chains, reserved unto judgment. One of these days, those angels are going to stand before God and be judged in that day. What about those good angels? The Apostle Paul makes a statement, and I don't know that any human being knows exactly what Paul means when he says this, but I want you to listen to what he says. He's talking to the saints in Corinth. "Know ye not that we shall judge the angels?" Isn't that something? Somehow, some way, you and I are going to be involved in the judgment of angels. All men will be there. Folks, here's where it gets personal, doesn't it? Every human being who has ever lived is going to be in judgment. There's not a person in this auditorium who's going to miss it. You're not going to be able to skip. You're not going to be able to have an excuse. You're not going to be able to be sick and not be there. Every human being will be in the judgment. Notice what the text says. "Who shall judge the quick and the dead?" The quick are those who are living, and the dead are those who are in the grave when our Lord comes again. Quick and dead, living and dead, will be judged when our Lord comes again. "The dead, small and great, shall stand before God." Romans chapter 20, verse 12. "All will appear before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. "For He cometh to judge the earth, and in righteousness He will judge the world." Psalm 98, verse 9. "He will judge the world in righteousness." Acts 17, verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory with all of His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and all nations shall be gathered before Him." Matthew 25, 31 and 32. Folks, not one human being will escape the judgment. Angels are going to be in judgment, we noticed. Is Satan going to be judged that day, or has Satan already been judged? I don't know the answer to that question. I assume that Satan, as an angel, will be judged. The Bible never says that he will stand in judgment. He's already called the evil one. Hell has already been prepared for him and his angels. But I do know this, on that day, the devil that deceiveth them shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan will come to his final end in the day of judgment. God will be there. Christ will be there. The angels will be there. Satan will be there. And all men will be there before the throne of the Almighty God to give an account. Point number four. What will be the standard of judgment? Folks, listen to me. When we get to the judgment, we are not going to be surprised by the standard that our Lord uses. We know what the standard is. And very simply, it's this book. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Romans 2:6, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. According to truth, what is truth? Jesus says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Judgment will be according to truth, according to the word of God. Paul says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, by my gospel. Folks, Paul's gospel was the one that was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 3, verse 3. It was his only in the sense that he was a steward thereof. He had been given that message by means of the Holy Spirit. It was his in the sense that as a steward, he was supposed to reveal it unto mankind. But Paul says, you're going to be judged by my gospel, by the word of the living God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. You tell me what books are connected to God. There's only two. There's only two books connected to God. The Old Testament and the New Testament. I saw the books opened. Folks, the Old Testament and the New Testament are going to be opened in the day of judgment. And we're going to be judged according to the testament under which we lived. And now we are living under the new covenant of Jesus. This book is going to be the standard of judgment in the last day. Now, that being said, that leads to some thoughts that we need to consider. Three of them. Number one, we know the test. Don't you hate it when you walk into a class and the teacher says, it's time for a pop quiz. Ugh. You didn't even know you were going to get tested. It about drives you crazy because you didn't read the material last night. Folks, that's not the way judgment's going to be. We know the test. The test is right here. It's an open book test. You have every bit of it in your hands. Right now you have it. Therefore, if you fail the test, guess what? It is not God's fault. Secondly, this book must be understandable. I have a lot of people today who just think the Bible can't be understood correctly. Folks, if that's the case, then God is going to be responsible for our being lost. And God is going to use a standard that we can't understand to judge us. Who would think that about God? Folks, God is not that kind of a God. He has revealed His will to us so that we can know the truth. And that truth can set us free and we can stand before Him righteous in the day of judgment. The Bible is understandable. And notice lastly, and this is the one that ought to scare us to death, God will apply His will perfectly to our lives. Let me ask you something. Do you think God knows what this book means? I do. I know He knows. This book came from His very mind. These are His very words. And He knows exactly what He said, why He said it, and the meaning behind them. And there will not be any perversion of His word when it comes to the day of judgment. He knows exactly how to apply those words to our lives. Folks, it behooves us to know the book, doesn't it? What will be the sentences that will be issued in the day of judgment? There's only going to be two. And I am going to hear one of those two. One sentence is going to be issued to all those individuals who have been cleansed and purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's what they'll hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you love that? Don't you love to be told you've done a good job? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. They'll hear these words. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. Jesus will tell those individuals, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Can you imagine standing at the judgment bar? Judgment is over. God runs his finger down the book of life and there your name is. And he says, well done. Enter the kingdom, folks. This old boy is going to run through those gates. But you see, that's just one sentence. There's a second sentence, and it will be issued toward all those who have refused the blood of Christ. You see, because these individuals are going to have to pay the penalty for their own sin. There's one of two ways that my penalty for sin is paid. It is through the blood of Jesus, or I pay it myself in the last day. Those who have refused the blood of Christ are going to hear these words. Thou wicked and slothful servant, cast ye the unprofitable servant in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Folks, there's two sentences. One of commendation and one of condemnation. Which will you hear in the last day? It all depends on whether I've availed myself of what's in the book. What will not be seen on the day of judgment? We don't talk about this very often. Number one, there will be no respect of persons. The Bible says in Romans 2:11, there is no respect of persons with God. Folks, God doesn't care that I'm a white boy. He doesn't care that I'm country in my talk. He doesn't care whether I got a degree from the University of Memphis or not. He could care less whether I'm short. He doesn't care whether I get old or not, or die young. He could care less whether I've been married or not married. He doesn't care what position that I held here on earth, and he doesn't care how much land or money or riches or jewels that I possess. He could care less. There is no respect of persons with God. And folks, that holds true for every one of us. There's no respect of persons with God. Number two, God will not be unfair in the judgment. Sometimes in our society, because human beings occupy the positions in courts and as judges, we see some unfairness, don't we? We see some inequity. Evidence left out, evidence misused, false witnesses brought in against another individual. Folks, there's not going to be any unfairness in the judgment. God is a fair God. When writing to the Hebrews in Hebrews 6:10, the Bible says, for God is not unfaithful to forget your work and labor of love. You see, the things that we have done, God isn't going to forget all that stuff. He isn't going to act like it didn't happen, folks. Whatever it was, it's going to be there. God will be fair in the judgment. Notice this, there's not going to be any missed evidence. Revelation 2:23 says that God is able to judge the very reins of the hearts of men. God can enter into the very deepest crevices of our soul, and He can unturn every rock, every piece of evidence that is there. He knows our will. He knows our agendas. He knows our conscience. He knows everything that there is to know. And He will not miss one piece of evidence. Not going to be any bargains or dealings with God. Can you imagine some rich guy standing before God and say, "Hey, God, if you just give me a minute, I'll write you a check." Ain't going to happen. Now, there's a lot of people today influenced by money in our legal system. You know that. The person who has the most, the person who can pay the most, guess what? Judgment can be rendered in certain ways based on what a man has or doesn't have. Not with God. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the cattle that are on a thousand hills. Folks, God doesn't need your money. And you can't influence Him on that day through bargains and deals. It won't happen. Notice this next one. There'll be no subjectivism there. So many times we make our decisions based on our feelings, don't we? I feel this way, or I feel that way. Folks, God's feelings aren't going to be the standard of judgment in the last day. We've already told you what the standard is. The standard is the revealed will of the Almighty God. That's how we're going to be judged. Not by feelings. If there's anybody who has a feeling, it's God, isn't it? If there's anybody who cares about us, it's God. He's our Creator. But folks, He's not going to let His feelings get in the way of judgment. It's not going to be subjectivism that judges me. It's going to be the Word of God that judges me. And lastly, there will be no mercy for the guilty. Matthew 25, 1 through 12. Involves the story of the 10 virgins. What amazes me is all 10 virgins are excited about the coming of the bridegroom, aren't they? They're all excited. They believe in the bridegroom. They want to be there when he gets there. And they all go out to meet him. But there's only one problem. Five aren't prepared enough. They leave. They go to get their oil. The bridegroom comes. Those five that are prepared go into the wedding feast, and the Bible says this, the door was shut. Those five foolish virgins, they come back, don't they? And they knock on the door. Let us in! Let us in! We're here now! Let us in! And from the inside, the Lord cries out, I know you not. There is no mercy for the guilty and for the unprepared in the day of judgment. Some things that will not be found that day. Folks, even after all these things that we've taught about the judgment, guess what? There's still people who will doubt the judgment. Are we really going to be judged? Is this really the way it's going to happen? Is there really just two sentences? God isn't going to be merciful to the guilty on that day? You see, there's all these doubts in our minds. Let's go back to Acts 17, verse 31. Paul is standing on Mars Hill, and listen to what he says. Because he, that's God the Father, hath appointed a day. Folks, that day is appointed. If God so desired, He could reveal to us the very day that judgment is going to transpire. He knows the day. It's been appointed. It's real. In the which He will judge the world. There it is. Every individual, every human being is going to be judged. How? In righteousness. Psalm 119, 172 says, all thy commandments are righteousness. He's going to judge us according to His truth, according to His commandments. By that man whom He hath ordained. Folks, that's Jesus Christ. All of those points we've made in the course of this lesson, Paul summarizes them briefly in one statement, but then listen to what he says. And hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Do you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead the third day some 2,000 years ago? Folks, if you believe that, you better believe in a day called judgment. Because that day assures us of judgment day. There will be a judgment. If you don't hear anything else in this lesson, you listen to this next statement. We need to prepare now for then. Because if we don't, then we'll be too late. Question. Are you ready to stand before God in the judgment? Are you ready to stand and face the test of the will of God? The Bible tells us what to do to be saved, and it's simple, isn't it? Hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe in the Christ as the Son of God, John 8:24, Romans 10:9-10. Repent of our sins and our transgressions, Acts 2:38. Confess the beautiful name of Jesus, Matthew 10:30-31. And then be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of sins. Ananias walks in to a very penitent Saul, doesn't he? He'd seen Jesus on the road to Damascus. He now believed in Jesus as the Christ. He's blind, he's penitent, he hasn't eaten for 3 days. And what are the words of Ananias to him? And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Folks, that's what it takes to become a Christian. That's what it takes to let Jesus' blood cleanse us from our iniquities so we don't have to face them in the day of judgment. Are you ready for the judgment day? Dear Christian, are you living by the good book? Are you ready? Are you ready? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?